hit our stream button. Or you can just say, like my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia, say, Alexa, KRFY, and bammo. There we are, Jack. And right now, and my sister says, the Lady Irish did it last night. They won. Notre Dame women. So we're sort of pleased about that. But the weather report, other things going on in Washington, D.C., we all know about that. But the weather continues. 45 now, clear skies and sunny, 54 high today.
That's not great, right? Well, I mean,
she doesn't say anything about the sun. Cold. I know. Okay, yeah. Or garlic. Neither, but...
Here's an interesting segue. This will work.
Okay.
So I went to the Christmas fair last weekend. It was out at the Bonner Mall. Wandered around, had my coffee, and had some peanut brittle.
Peanut brittle.
It was good.
Peanut brittle's heaven.
I don't think we got... I thought about getting a wreath, but then didn't. We missed Santa Claus and took off. That was it. But... while I was there, I did stop by and vote in the gingerbread house contest. I did not build a gingerbread house, but I did cast my vote for, I think, number one in the adult division. Mm-hmm. I know I'm violating the secret ballot here, and I think I did number three in the youth division. But anyway, I was just wondering, so now we're here with Debbie Love, and were you or were you not involved in that in some capacity, Debbie?
We were involved to the extent of bringing down a barrel, and they are always so lovely over there, Darcy and Emily. They do collections for us at every event now that they're holding at the fairgrounds, and so they held a food drive for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so you weren't involved in the actual making of the gingerbread houses?
No, we decided that we would just put the food barrel there just because it was a prominent place and they wanted it to be recognized.
Well, that's great. So you can't tell me who won or if my taste matches that of the rest of my fellow community members. Okay, fine. Well,
I have a segue.
Okay, go ahead. You try. Mine was a bust.
With Debbie is John Larrabee. He is the warehouse manager out at the food bank. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing excellent. And a returnee, is this your sophomore return or junior?
I think junior.
This is Adrian Murillo. He is the receptionist at the food bank, and we're going to be talking to both of them about what they do and about volunteering at the food bank. But my segue was this, that last Friday night at the Panada was comedy night for a cause, and it was the food bank that benefited from it, and we'll be talking more in detail. I was walking in, and there were some people in front of the theater and with kids they were looking at and whatever, and I walk in through, you know, heading into the door, and there's a father, I assume, holding about a two-year-old kid, and the father's looking over here, and the kid looks at me and says, Santa. Well, you know, I mean, I that's sort it. Of, you know, yeah. So yeah, it was. And I said, no, I'm his brother. And I said, I'll be busy helping him making toys soon. But right now I need to go inside the Panada.
So, yes.
But that's the first time I've been mistaken for Santa.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, that ties to walking into comedy with the cause. So which makes me think what I'm going to do is I'm going to be traveling over the holidays, going back east, and I have a red Santa hat.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know what T-shirt I'll wear, though. You know, mixed messages. You know, I'm sort of good at that.
Yes. I once was on a train with a Santa who did not drop character. I was riding from here back to Minnesota, I think around Thanksgiving time.
Was he in a uniform?
He wasn't in a uniform, but I think he was wearing like a Hawaiian shirt. But he did have, of course, the beard, and he sat down at dinner and kind of introduced himself as, I think, Kris Kringle or something like that. But he went with it the whole time. It was it was amusing.
I'll have to think about that. But we are here with a couple three from the food bank, and Debbie Love. She is the executive director, and with John and Adrian. Let's talk about last Friday night first, Debbie, and then we can go into needs, and because we're heading into the holidays, and Jack, next Thursday is the holiday.
It is.
Yeah.
It's Turkey Day.
Practically upon us. Debbie, tell us about last Friday night, Comedy for a Cause, and how that event unfolded.
Yeah. Patricia there, the director of the Panada, called and said that I'd like you to be my cause. And I said, well, I do have a lot of issues, but the food bank probably needs more help than I. So she said that they would like to host the food bank. And we had a booth there, and people that came into the event would donate money to us or food. And we earned over 100 pounds of food and $315 that evening.
Excellent, excellent. And who are the comedians?
There's a local guy from Heron, Montana.
Sam Cornett.
That's right. And he was good. What'd you think?
I had to exit out. I had other commitments that night, but I was there to greet people at the door. I'm a volunteer there.
Oh, I know. It was lovely to see Santa as we walked in. I think that two-year-old had it spot on.
but I was reverse Santa. I took people's food. They brought in the gifts, and I took them rather than me passing out the gifts.
Yeah, and then one thing I'll add with that, you just reminded me, the Panada, those that donated to the food bank received a dollar off one of their drinks, whether it was, alcohol.
And a good crowd.
It was a great crowd. Good Almost crowd. 200 people.
That's important. That's important. So give us a state of the Bonner Community Food Bank right now. How are we heading into to Thanksgiving, less than a week away? What do we need? Give us an overview, Debbie.
Right now, we are sitting well, actually. Our goal is 800 turkeys, and we need a little under 100 left. So we're coming along. We also give out...
What poundage?
A good pound for a turkey that we have found for families are 8 to 12 pounds.
8 to 12 pounds, yeah. Okay.
The bigger ones are fine, though. We do have a lot of people that will like to buy those big 20-pound turkeys and bring them in. And we have large families, so it works. But we have found most of our families are 2 to 4 people. And also where they live and the accommodations that they can handle a turkey.
Absolutely. If one does not know where the food bank is located, let's go there before what else? Because, a person might have a turkey and not know where the food bank is.
Yes. So we are located at 1707 Culver's Drive, north on Boyer. We're set kind of behind the airport next to UPS there.
And what's nice, I don't know when it occurred, but when you head north on Boyer, you go over the set of railroad tracks, and there's a sign that says, when did that occur? A sign that, an arrow with food bank. That's fairly, I don't want to say fairly new, because it could have occurred this past summer, but I know that hasn't always been there.
It hasn't. We're thankful that the city put that up for us.
And then there's another sign with another arrow showing you it's the first right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Okay, we need turkeys. Everyone out there, 8 to 12 pounders. You don't have basket drops, do you? Barrel drops anyplace or?
We don't. We know that Yolks, if you buy a turkey at Yolks, they will hold it for you. And then when we go do our grocery rescue in the mornings, we'll pick that up.
Ooh.
Now, so that's a nice...
There's a phrase I like. Did you catch that?
I heard it. Grocery rescue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Grocery rescue.
Mm-hmm.
What a concept, Debbie. I like that. John, tell me about a grocery rescue.
Well, we have 4 or 5 supermarkets in town that we go to either daily or at least once a week. And I don't know if I can name names of stores. Everyone knows the stores in town anyway.
Name them. The danger of naming, you better come up with 5.
Probably do that.
You can't leave anybody off. But absolutely, name. It's important where you get the support from.
We do
from.
Go out to all the supermarkets at least during the week. Daily, we will hit stores like Yolks and Walmart. Then we go to Safeway and Super One, all 4 of those daily.
Okay.
Winter Ridge donates to us as well. We go there weekly. and other places like Subway and
Subway.
Subway does too.
Tell me about that.
Bread and such.
And it's
still really soft and really good.
Oh, and you know, when you say, you know, food donations, I think of Yolk's, Super One, Safeway, Walmart, or Winter Ridge, but Safeway.
I believe they sought us out, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They wanted to. What a wonderful concept. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when
you go to those stores and we pick up there, and it depends, the items we pick up vary from store to store.
Yeah.
And produce, dry goods, dairy, deli items in some places, tons and tons of bakery. And breads and desserts and such like that. And then our driver brings it back, and we set it out in our marketplace area of the food bank.
What is that, the grocery rescue, you know, donations right from the supermarkets? What, like, percentage, what amount of your, the overall stock of food does that account for?
Gosh, Debbie would know the percentages versus what we get. Mm-hmm. From the stores and what we have to actually purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But we wouldn't be able to do it without the grocery stores. That is absolutely for sure. And the fresher stuff we get, obviously, is coming from the grocery stores.
Last year, it equated to the pounds over $600,000 worth of rescued food.
Wow.
So it was over 500,000 pounds of food that we rescued from the grocery stores.
Yeah.
So it's quite the impact.
Yeah.
I'm having, you know, rescue, like, help, mm-hmm. you know, I'm being held hostage, you know.
Well, one of our grocery stores, we had a pallet of those little mandarin oranges, the cuties.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, they came in a little too small for a buyer, and so we ended up getting those. And so, I mean, I'm really grateful that food banks are starting to do this rescue across the nation, because you can think and imagine how much food goes to waste.
Isn't that amazing, you know, that something like mandarin oranges would be too small for sale.
Yes.
But on the other hand, that's a great concept that it's being used.
Well, when you say rescue, too, a lot of the things say like, you get a quart of strawberries or a bag of these little cuties, these oranges. There may be one in there that's gone bad. And the produce department just gives us the whole bag. So what we'll do is we'll pull something like that, or we'll pull out the bad strawberry, and at which point the rest is all fine. So we actually are rescuing the rest of it, whatever is in the package.
Okay. I'll buy that, John. But, okay, John, Adrian, we'll get to you. You're being so patient here. John, tell folks who might not know what the store at the food bank is like. And, you know, in terms of how does one shop there, how does one navigate oneself through getting food?
Well, for the last, 8 years, the Bonner Community Food Bank has been a marketplace kind of way of distributing food to folks who come in. And those who qualify for services are given a certain amount of points, so to speak, that they can spend in the marketplace. They can do that once a month. They can come in 4 times a month because they can come in once a week, and they can so-called spend those points, and they can apply it towards lots of dry goods that we have points written on them.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things that we don't charge any points at all for.
List those. I think this is important.
Well, we call it, say, 0 points.
Okay.
Because it's not going to deduct anything from your points.
And that would be...
Produce and such like
produce,
that.
Produce,
the spoilage
absolutely.
Is an issue there, so we want to move it as fast as we can. It's really healthy, too, so we're not going to... try and discourage anyone from getting stuff like that.
Absolutely. And they have carts.
It's great because it looks just like a small marketplace.
There's absolutely.
Lots of families come in. They've come from the supermarket, and then they come straight into us, and it's just part of their whole daily chores and errands.
Okay. Well, let's go back to Thanksgiving and the holidays coming up. We mentioned turkeys. Everyone out there, 8 to 12 pounders. John, what else do we need from the where? You know, you're the one who stocks the shelves and that sort of thing. What else is needed?
Well, right now we're aiming towards our Thanksgiving meals that we're going to be passing out next Monday and Tuesday. And all the kinds of fixings that you would think for a Thanksgiving meal. I guess one of the things, I never had them growing up, but I guess the green bean casseroles where you've got the...
What?
Never did.
Yeah. Obviously, he wasn't born in Minnesota or Indiana.
No, apparently not.
I guess they had them in Maine, but not our house anyway. But yeah, so we're stocking up on green beans and certainly cream mushroom soup.
Adrian, and, did you have green bean casseroles?
No, we didn't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I mean, okay.
I
guess we have.
Is that strange?
No, we have to celebrate diversity.
Yeah, there you know, go.
Celebrate Debbie diversity that some people did not have. Green bean casseroles.
I don't feel lesser for it, but that's all right.
Well, I've been invited over to friend's house for Thanksgiving, and you know what are we all going to bring? And at the top of the list was nobody bring green bean casserole.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. I mean, that's not, there's not going to be a green bean casserole. So, okay.
Well, when I started at the food bank too, was the olives. I mean, you know, black olives. I never thought of that as something for the Thanksgiving meal either. But
what did you guys do? Pine cones and, you know, up in Maine,
we had the turkeys and the stuffing, that's for sure.
And, of course, we know with the green bean casserole, you need the can of mushroom soup. I mean, what good is green beans without mushroom soup?
Correct, yes.
What else do you need?
Oh, gosh, like I said, we're going to need the stuffing.
Okay.
We get a lot of canned fruit we're going to need. Fresh potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Because, yes, and we offer either dried potatoes for instant for some families who don't want to go through the whole process, but we also will need fresh potatoes, any kind of fresh fruit, too.
Okay. Okay. We are here with three folks from, three from the food bank, and now we're going to have Adrian, and then we're going to talk about volunteering. Adrian, what do you do at the food bank?
I work at the front desk. And I also do intakes for new people who want to sign up at the food bank.
Okay. And how does that process work?
If you're a new person and you want to sign up, we have three requirements. We ask that people have a photo ID and proof of income and proof of address. And most people who show up don't necessarily have that all that information. They do have a photo ID, so we get them started. Even with just the photo ID so that they can get some food as soon as possible. And the reason why we ask for that other information is, well, a lot of people confuse us and think we're a government agency, and we're not. We're community supported all the way. But we do have USDA food available, and that is government food, and there is income requirements for that depending on household, the number in the household. But that also is just a fraction of the food that's available at the market.
Talk a little bit about when somebody comes. Is there a geographic range of people in terms of were you just people in the county?
Yeah, there are people from all over the county. Of course, a lot of Sandpoint people, but there are people as far as Kerrywood and Priest River and just, they come from all over.
Okay, and you've been there how long?
I started in June of this year.
And have the numbers increased since?
Yes, I would say they have, especially since we got into colder weather, wouldn't you say? I know just this past week alone, I've probably done a dozen intakes just this week.
So what would, maybe Debbie, I don't know, maybe you have the numbers, Adrian, the number of families being served per month.
We're averaging 1,600 families.
And how many people would that be?
Around 4,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It varies, but we know for sure we're up to over 5,000 visits a month from folks coming in.
So that would go back to what John said about some people come once a month, some people might come twice a month.
Right.
And their points are accrued per month. In other words, they get a certain amount. The points, I take it, are based upon size of family.
Yes. Exactly.
And then after that. Now, let's talk about, and then we'll go about volunteering, and then we'll take a music break shortly. Besides edible things, there are other things that you need at the food bank that you accept donations. And what are those like, Debbie?
Yeah, especially right now, we're looking for hats and gloves and socks. We have we're serving 300 families that are homeless, currently homeless. And so when they come in, they're looking for coats or, you know, warm items to have.
Mm-hmm.
Any hygiene items, deodorant, soaps, toothpaste, feminine hygiene products as well.
We had on a couple of years ago, didn't we, a high school student feminine.
McKaylee.
McKaylee. And has her work continued on?
It has, yeah. The gym club at the high school. They continue to do a feminine hygiene drive for us.
Okay.
Which is neat, yeah. She's now at Seattle University and enjoying life.
And her legacy lives on.
It does.
Wonderful. So keep that in mind, that it's just not a food bank, but other items are needed. Uh-huh. Should we take a music break?
Sure.
Well, what? Adrian's going to say something?
I just wanted to add to something, you know, what Debbie was saying about the need for warm stuff. You know, I really think socks are really important. A lot of people that we serve are homeless, and they do a lot of walking. And this is a tough time of year for that. And good warm socks would be a really valuable treasure for people in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. We're here with Debbie Love, John Larrabee, and Adrian Murillo from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And let's take a music break. On this date in 1961, Bob Dylan recorded his first album on Columbia Records that would not be released until March of 62. But on this album, there are two original compositions, and everything else were traditional folk songs. Here is one of the two original compositions. He wrote it to Woody Guthrie, and it's a song called Song to Woody. That is Bob Dylan, one of the two original compositions from his first album, self-titled, on Columbia Records, released in March of 1962. But he went into the studio and recorded it on this date in 1961. That would be 58 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. I haven't heard that one. I have not heard. That's one of the Bob Dylan records from the 60s that I have not listened to.
And if you can track it down in mono, you've got a gold mine there.
Yeah. I don't have that one in my collection, and yes, I will look for it in mono, but something tells me I won't find it around here.
Now, for those listeners who are wondering, what do we do when the song is playing? We talked about garlic, and we came up with the concept that maybe they're sitting under there with earmuffs and neck scarves and waiting for warmer weather.
I have an important bulletin from Julie Calamine who
ding,
says,
ding, 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 ding.
Jack, you can plant garlic in the spring. So thank you, Julie. That's the co-host of the Tuesday
then
morning
Then I would
show.
Ask, is it as good and as large and as bulby as garlic can be that you've planted in the fall?
Well, we'll just have to wait for
Julie. We're waiting
Julie
for you.
Send the bulletin. I'm sure that it is. Yeah. It's got to be.
Let's go back to enough garlic talk, you know, because probably the other root vegetables or root things are going to say, hey, what about us? Talk about us. Turnips are going to start calling in. we are here with members of the Bonner Community Food Bank, and John and Adrian and Debbie. John or Adrian, I'll just throw this out. Your volunteers, John, how long have you been there?
I started the food bank back in 2012.
Okay.
And so that's coming up on 8 years.
That's a chunk of years. Mm-hmm. Tell us about volunteering, you know, your experiences, and is there a need at the food bank, and what are you looking for?
Well, we always need volunteers. I would think from one time to another, we'll have some who come during the summertime and then go off and do things in the wintertime. We have the opposite as well. We have volunteers from all walks of life. We have different programs at the food bank. We have our backpack program we do, or bike to go, as you say. And we have folks who come in just to do that, the assembly and the distribution of those. But yes, we couldn't do it without volunteers. There's only five of us on staff, and we have upwards, like say, about 45 volunteers who come at different times.
And hours, you know, there's somebody out there might be sitting and go, wow, volunteering, I don't know if I have time in my schedule, or, you know, in terms of what are you looking at?
Well, the schedule's really, really flexible. We're there from 8 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some volunteers will come for a 3 or 4 hour period in the morning, a couple days a week or once a week, and others come at noontime and work till 3. They're more afternoon people. And then we have some diehard volunteers who are there every day of the week. And so we will take anybody and everybody who want to come and volunteer.
Um, Is there, and these are only during weekdays, or what days are you open looking for volunteers?
We are. We're open Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. For services to the general public, where it's 9 o'clock to 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. But we're there 8 a.m. to get things all set up, and especially the marketplace and what have you. Mm-hmm. So we're there 8 to 3 as far as folks coming in to help out.
Do you guys get a lot of, well, let's say potatoes? Are we here in Idaho? Right? Famous for our potatoes. Famous potatoes, as the license plate says. Do we get, I mean, is what we get in our food bank here different from what they're getting in the food bank in, I don't know, Oklahoma, something like that?
I guess you have to ask someone from Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're close to a lot of farms, of course, in eastern Washington and southern Idaho. So we partner with Second Harvest down in Spokane, and they do a lot of the legwork and glean things from certain farms and such. Mm-hmm. And then they distribute it to the whole area, and we're a partner agency with them. So we get a lot brought to us from them. There was a mobile food bank at Walmart just last week, and the stuff that folks didn't get then during their distribution, the truck comes over and drops everything else off to us. So it's still getting to the community, whether it's
where did
that day
food
or not.
Come from?
It came from Second Harvest in Spokane.
Mm. No, can you? Yeah, I read that on the air last Thursday. That mm-hmm. I think it was on Friday that, like mm-hmm. 11 to 2 or something in the Walmart parking lot. And I was wondering about its relationship between that and the food bank.
Yeah, so we're kind of a second chance for that food, too. We rescue that food because they bring it over to us. So it's still here in the community and in the county. When they leave, they leave what they bring still here. And mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. their conduit to still put stuff out.
Okay. Adrian, we've heard from the warehouse. What's it like in the office area?
It can be very busy sometimes. It seems to... it comes in waves as far as clients coming through. We'll get a big rush, and then there'll be a lull, and then there'll be another wave of people. So there's always, it's never a boring moment, though. There's always something happening, and the volunteers, you know, I just want to kind of build on that point. I've been really impressed. For one thing, in my life experience, I've had to use food banks in North Carolina and Missoula, and without doubt, this is the best in terms of the diversity of food and the fresh produce and the fresh vegetables. It's just an abundance here, and that's because of the coordination of not just our local volunteers, but with Second Harvest and, you know, in Spokane. I mean, it's just very impressive to me, the level of collaboration and coordination that is going on behind the scenes so that people can have this food.
And a lot of the credit, wouldn't you say, goes to Debbie?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, not only...
She's shaking her head, but we're not going to look at her.
Not only
she's
for
so
her,
humble.
Her coordination skills, but I have to say also she is just the epitome of compassion and empathy. With every person who walks through the door, she just... exudes this compassion and empathy for people, and no matter who they are, even if they're having a grumpy day, she's just a positive role model for that, and which is good for me because sometimes I can be the grumpy old man. And I'm just really impressed with how she handles everything.
And that is so important because I'm sure that for some people, going to a food bank saying, help, I need help, it is a major step.
It is. And a lot of people, are ashamed. They're embarrassed.
Exactly.
You know, I do the intake. So people feel a need to explain why they're in this position. And my feeling is, you know, you don't really need to explain. We're here to provide you with the food, with what you need. But everybody has a story to tell about their struggle to survive poverty. And they feel like they need to justify that. And they don't really, but I also try to recognize the need they have to tell their story.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you and John. John, do you ever wish that you were up in the front office? And Adrian, do you ever wish you were back with the food?
No, I like where I'm at.
I like exactly where I am. Thank you very much. I don't envy all they do up front, but they're good at what they do, and I enjoy what I do in the back. I don't think I could sit still as long as these guys do. I mean, I'm constantly moving, walking around, and I like that about my job. So plugged in the right spot for me, I think.
It's a team effort, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of... So, Debbie, how many in your organization out there, not at any one time, but including the volunteers, and how many people make the Bonner Community Food Bank work?
On a monthly basis, just the operations alone, we have 45 to 50 people
okay.
a month yeah, that come
in. And if one is interested in volunteering, how does one go about it?
If they're interested, they can walk through our front doors. We have a volunteer application that we go through, a civil rights training, and then they could start right then and there. They can email us at info@foodbank8384.com. Or they can give us a call at 208-263-3663.
I was also going to add that we have people sometimes that will come in and they want to volunteer, but they'll say right up front that I can't do a lot of heavy lifting, or they'll give us a lot of their conditions right up front. And since I mentioned earlier, we have a marketplace set up for our distribution. There are people who can just stand there at the checkout. And when you've done collecting your food and you come up to the checkout, they stand there and they deduct all the points. And we have limits on other things, too. So they let the clientele know that. Then there's other people who, like myself, have to keep moving around all the time. And, mm-hmm. and they can do stuff in the back. And that means unloading the van when it comes back from the stores, or... sorting food that comes from food drives like the Comedy Night, or Lighthouse Foods had done just a large collection for us over the last couple weeks, and some almost 10,000 pounds we got from them. And so there's been a whole lot of fun sorting with the stuff they bring in for us.
Yeah, just simply organizing and then from the back warehouse getting it onto the shelves. Debbie, how many years have you been at the food bank?
I've been there 4 years now.
And in your 4 years, an overview, has the need risen? You know, like Adrian said, in his 6 months, he's seen an increase. In terms of numbers of families you serve, people you've served, has the number, or has it been pretty steady over the years?
Over the years, it's been steady, but this year we've seen an increase. It's about a 2% increase. So, as Adrian said, when the colder months come upon us, more people are seeking our services, so.
And next year is number 40.
Yes.
Talk about that.
We're just so impressed that we've been in the community since 1980. Started in the basement of the courthouse. And Alice Wallace, my predecessor.
Yay, Alice.
Yeah, she was a part of the program for 16 plus years. And then her mother started it with a group of people. So it's been a family feat. And... we're celebrating 40 next year, so we're looking forward to that. And I know Adrian has something he may want to add about that.
Well, yeah, one thing we've been talking about doing in celebration of the 40th year is a newsletter, a quarterly newsletter that we want to put out next year, seasonally, every one issue every season, about the food bank. And so I'm taking this moment to put out the word out there. If anybody has experience putting newsletters together, you know, layout and printing and that kind of stuff, we could really use the help. We can supply the content, the material, and we just want to highlight, you know, the role that the food bank plays in the community, and feature articles on volunteers and clients who might want to tell their story. Like I mentioned earlier, everybody has a story to tell. And so we want to kind of use that as a vehicle in celebration of the 40 years that the food bank's been in existence.
It is getting into the holiday season. As a matter of fact, next week is Thanksgiving. What are your hours, and do you do anything different during this time of year, like during the next 5 weeks or so?
Well, again, with our Thanksgiving handout we're going to be doing next week, what we do is we take the alphabet of our clientele and we separate the first half of the alphabet. On Monday, folks can come in and get their meals, and then the second half on Tuesday. And one thing I say to folks every time they line up on either of those 2 days, and it always inevitably ends up being snowy and cold and really gross by that time, people will line up we open up at 9 a.m. and they'll be staying there at 7:30, all cold and chilly, waiting to be first in line. And And anyone who comes through the very first, when we open up at 9, are getting the same things that people who walk in with no wait at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, our supply is going to be enough for everybody. So there's no need to freeze yourself outside waiting in line, because it's not like Toys for Tots. The first person gets the best stuff or whatever. Everybody's getting the same stuff, whether it's you get there at 9 or 1 p.m.
And again, we want to say that we still need around 100 turkeys weighing anywhere from 8 to 12 pounds. And if you do get your turkeys at Yolks, you can just leave them there and they'll be part of the food rescue program.
Grocery rescue.
Grocery rescue.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe
okay.
so.
Help.
Yolks also has a food barrel out front there between okay. the doors. So
mm-hmm. Year round.
Yeah. Oh. And keep in mind that the turkeys need to be defrosted. Not to say that they won't accept a turkey on a Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
But the chances of them being defrosted, you know, decrease. Mm-hmm. Defrosted properly, mm-hmm. you know, rather than flash defrosting. But...
go ahead.
I was going to mention Priest River also is doing their Thanksgiving distribution on Tuesday the 26th from 9 to 2 as well. And we will take turkey signups up until Friday.
Perfect.
If we have new folks coming next week, we will take them on Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday we're at capacity with, you know, 400 to 500 people a day coming.
Now, when you gave me the numbers for the families you serve and the individuals you does that number include Priest River?
It does. Yes.
Okay.
So this year, last year we served 80 families, that received turkey dinners. This year they are up to 125.
Wow.
So we're seeing an increase on the west side of the county there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything coming up for Christmas or anything like that? Hours?
UPS will be doing a food drive. We also have a food drive this Saturday.
Saturday at Super One.
It's Lake Pondere Alternative High School. Mm. They are doing a food drive for us. They're kind of our sister school that comes over, and they're always helping, and teachers bring their students over. So they're doing a food drive to collect those turkeys.
10 to 2,
I believe.
10 to 2. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important. We've been here with three important people with the Bonner Community Food Bank. Debbie Love, the executive director. Adrian Murillo, the receptionist, probably one of the first faces you see.
Yes.
And John Larrabee, probably someone you won't see because he's busy back in the warehouse sorting through. Anything in conclusion you want to say, any one of you? I mean, 40th anniversary next year, somebody who can put together a newsletter, by all means.
I was going to say, at least if during this time, if you want to drop off your turkeys or bring any kind of donations to the food bank, during these busy Monday and Tuesday during the handout, we're going to try and have someone out there kind of directing traffic and keeping the parking lot open. So they'll wait. Yeah,
the parking lot, you have to navigate it sort of.
Yeah.
So you know, when you're backing up.
There'll be someone to wave you on in, because we definitely welcome any and all donations. So you're gonna get the red carpet treatment when you come on in bring the turkeys, and we'll bring them right to the back.
Very cool. And how about cranberries and pumpkin pie filling?
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. And yams and
And the green beans.
Yeah.
And the green bean casserole.
And peanut butter?
Always peanut butter.
I've
breakfast,
heard that.
Breakfast and, cereal. Mm-hmm. And those stuff for year-round.
Debbie, why do we mention peanut butter?
It's the number one item.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter is the number one item.
For Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. For Sandpoint.
I can understand that. I'm out of peanut butter right now, and it has wreaked havoc with my life. I ran out, I think, a week ago, and I never stocked up when I did my weekly grocery shopping. And
I don't get it. If it was that crucial and your entire life depends upon it, why wouldn't you have an extra supply there, Jack?
I usually do. I can usually go to the pantry and grab. I get the 2-pack, and I usually have the second one waiting for me in the pantry. And there was a miscalculation in the peanut butter in the spreadsheet. We ran. I think it was a five week month last month or something like that. I ran out of peanut butter, and it's a disaster. And then I didn't stock up this weekend. Anyway,
that happens. Well, mm-hmm. I want to say on behalf of the North Idaho community, I mean the work that the three of you, as well as the other people with the food bank, you provide an incredible service to the community. And that's one of the things Jack and I discover as we have people coming on the air. We're absolutely amazed at what an incredible place this area is in terms of the good people who make it work for everyone.
Absolutely.
And on behalf of Jack and me, thank you guys so much. And again, 8 to 12 pound turkeys. They need them, and they need to get them out to the people who really do need them. Thank you guys so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to take an Elvis Presley movie music break. Last week, I think we did Blue Hawaii. It premiered. He's global. And on this date in 1963, Fun in Acapulco was released. And here's the title cut, Elvis Presley, Fun in Acapulco. Well. That is Elvis Presley. We are going global with Elvis. Last week it was Blue Hawaii. Today it was Fun in Acapulco. And it was on this date in 1963 that Fun in Acapulco premiered.
Have you seen that one?
You know, I caught a couple early, Love Me Tender, Jailhouse Rock, and then I sort of drifted away.
I like the song Jailhouse Rock. I think I saw the beginning of maybe Viva Las Vegas. Is he a race car driver in that one? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, he made a gazillion.
I know. Are any of them any good? Are any of them worth seeing? I'm going to maybe check out Jailhouse Rock sometime.
Well, it's sort of like Love Me Tender was his first one, and when he dies in it, I mean, that was sort of like a cultural icon at that time. Mm-hmm. People were weeping in the audiences. And then Jailhouse Rock, I like the energy of the music and the choreography, you know, them swinging on jailhouse doors and things like that. But I sort of lost interest as he became more Hollywoodized.
I can understand that. I guess I should check it out. I shouldn't throw stones without having seen it, but it seems like he's in a million movies, and I don't think any of them
more
are really.
It's more fun to throw stones at things you haven't seen. I mean, that's what I live my life by. Uh-huh. You're right. Thursday, some things coming up on the agenda. Girls Pint Out at Idaho Poor Authority at 203 Cedar Street. They're going to host Girls Pint Out tonight, 5 to 7. Great beer, no dudes. Bring a snack to share and be prepared to pair with different beer styles.
Okay.
That's tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority, 5 to 7.
It's trivia night tonight at the Pondere Winery. They only do this like once a month. They do not do a weekly trivia night, to my knowledge. Let's see. This is from 6 to 8 p.m., 301 Cedar Street. Questions are fun and challenging and always new. It is usually, if not always, associated with a local nonprofit organization. Usually the benefits go somewhere. It doesn't say here on my sheet of paper where they're going this week, but worth checking out and a little different than the beer night trivia if you're more of a wine connoisseur. Well, here's your chance.
Exactly. Tonight begins a 4-day run of Hearthside Stories at the Panda Play Theater, and coming up at 9 o'clock will be a special interview with folks bringing on that event. So we'll talk more at 9 o'clock, but that begins tonight and runs through the 24th.
And it's the 21st tonight. So there's another trivia night going on at this time at the back door, 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Well, if you're into trivia, you're going to have some real decisions to make here. This time it's female-focused trivia. It's called More Than a Woman Trivia. This is at 111 Cedar Street. It's in support of Return Retreats, a local nonprofit startup that brings restorative mindsets to women through retreat experiences, as well as financial support to burdened women in the North Idaho Panhandle. Third Thursday of every month, it's More Than a Woman Trivia.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. Do you do trivia?
I do trivia.
Do you do anything to do your trivia? I mean, do you practice, like, arbitrary?
I should. No, not really. I collect useless facts all the time. I can't stop that. So it just works out.
I sort of try every week to
learn something.
Learn something like the order of the Beatles on the cover of the Help album. Now I know the order on the cover of the Abbey Road, left to right, but on the cover of the Help album, left to right, which is different, you know. So one day that might become important. I might be knocking on Heaven's Gate and St. Peter might say, Jim, I got a question for you. Left to right on the Beatles Help album, then I'll let you in.
Yeah.
I'm good as gold. Tomorrow night, the 22nd, IPA Live Music, Idaho Port Authority. We're back there again. Live music from 5 to 7 with Mike and Shanna Thompson.
We have also, starting tonight, by the way, tonight, Hearthside Stories. And stay tuned on this radio station for another 5 or 10 minutes right after Bird Note. I'll be in here with the producers, the Unknown Locals, and the Panada Playhouse Players for two one-act plays kicking off the holiday season. This is at 7:30 p.m. tonight, and it's through Saturday, and 3:30 p.m. on Sunday in the Panada Theater. Go to panada.org for more information, or just stay tuned to this radio station for a little while longer.
After Burndown, tomorrow and on Saturday, Lions Club Turkey Bingo. The Bonner Mall in Pondere hosts the Lions Club Turkey Bingo Kickoff Fundraiser for Toys for Tots. And everyone is invited to join in the fun. Hours are 6 to 8 in the evening on Friday and noon to 4 on Saturday. That is Lions Club Turkey Bingo, Bonner Mall in Pondere.
The rounding out the rest of the Friday night music scene, we have Brian Jacobs, Meg Turner, and Chris Lynch, Red Blend at the Winery. From 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday at the Beer Hall. It's another trio, the Groove Black, at McDuff's Beer Hall from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Now featuring Paz Rainbow on trumpet. They have added to the Groove Black. Then we got at the 219 Maya Kohal Band from 9 to midnight. That's your Friday night music lineup. Go ahead.
I was going to say, on Saturday, the music continues at IPA, 203 Cedar Street, the Idaho Port Authority, from 5 to 7 on Saturday. Dustin Drennan.
Okay. The K&K Thanksgiving Fishing Derby begins this weekend and runs next weekend as well. Lake Pondere, Idaho Club's annual fall fishing contest. I've always kind of wanted to be out on a boat during that, in the middle of winter. I mean,
Well, growing up in Minnesota, didn't you go ice fishing?
I did go ice fishing, but this is different. This is not. You have nothing, you know, steady underneath you. This is rough seas out there. Well, it could be. I don't know. Actually, it's supposed to be pretty calm and clear. Just cold this weekend, so it should be a good time for fishing. Let's see here. There's a fundraiser for the food bank at A&P's Bar and Grill. The food bank. We just saw them. From 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. What else? Anything else catching your eye here, Jim? The Fall Serenade Concert. Did we mention that?
Oh, that's right. On Sunday.
Yes.
The Music Conservatory.
Were they just in here yesterday?
They were here yesterday with the morning show with Chris and Susie.
The annual Fall Serenade Concert and Dessert Auction is on Saturday or on Sunday, the 24th, at the Heartwood Center, 615 Oak Street. Works by the Great Masters, performed by Music Conservatory artist instructors. That's again at 5 p.m. at the Heartwood Center. So I guess that's it for this portion of the morning show. We'll pause and play a little, have a little message from the birds, our
tweet, Rockin' Robin.
It's time for Winter Birds Love Suet.
I have suet in our backyard. You bet. We get flickers and woodpeckers and all sorts of wonderful birds that just, I love to see the way they peck upside down, the way they navigate around the the suet feeder.
So you put it's suet and seeds, right? Or is it just suet?
No, no, it's suet and seeds. Yeah. You can get Berry Blast or a peanut butter one, or, you know, I don't know if the different flavors, I just try to vary it out there, but you get a different kind of bird at the suet feeder. And the other nice thing, squirrels leave the suet alone.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the way I feel about it. But no, I don't see them draping themselves all over the suet thing and snacking away the way they do with my sunflower seed feeder and regular bird feeder.
That's interesting to me. I didn't picture a squirrel being so discriminating, but there you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so stay tuned for Bird Note, and then I'll be back with the Panada Players and the Unknown Locals in just a minute, and then we'll resume our regularly scheduled Otto's Eclectic Mix. Here on 88.5 KRFY. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. I am back. This is Jack on the mic without Jim on a special Thursday morning broadcast. After the morning show, we have with us Ken Wood, Robert Moore, Devin Fredericks, and Patricia Walker from the Panada Theater and the Unknown Locals, a hodgepodge of group or of people from different groups, coming to talk about two holiday one-act plays coming up this weekend, starting, in fact, tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Opening night.
Cool. Exciting.
Exciting. This is the second annual Hearthside Stories. So these are all fresh new stories of the two one-acts that we do. Two holidays, two one acts, one night.
So. And obviously last year must have been some kind of success.
It was.
Come back to do it again.
It was. And these are two talented writers who bring this to life. And they were going to switch holidays this year. And Chris Herron had something in his sleeve about continuing the story just a bit. So this is Santa Part 2. Maybe Ken could chuckle about that one.
Sure.
But So Becky wrote the Thanksgiving one act, and Chris Herron wrote the Christmas.
That's Becky Revac and Chris Herron, Chris of the Unknown Locals, and Becky, who is your, or what, co-something.
She works at the Panada, yeah.
Co-worker, And both of them have written several plays in around here. And
absolutely, yeah.
And are well-known, as far as local playwrights go, I suppose they are.
They are quite,
currently prolific local playwrights.
They have good reputations, let's just say.
So the plays are Thanksgiving Next by Becky Revac and True Believers by Chris Herron. We have with us Ken Wood, who plays... it's not giving it away to say you play Santa.
No, it's not giving it away at all.
Okay, you're Santa Claus in Chris Herron's play True Believers.
Yes.
You are... This is apparently some kind of quasi-sequel to the last show?
That's correct. Yeah, the first one was True Believer last year, and so this is my second year playing Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
And the beauty of this, too, is I get to have my children, my two sons, as the elves, as the elves to Santa Claus, Jingle and Jangle, so it's fun to kind of make it a family play, too.
Chris Herron usually writes a comedy with a little bit of a
twist.
Yeah, twist. Yeah, a twist is a good word for it. Can we expect that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And you'll also find that there's a lot of local references to things like the Turban and Sharon's Hallmark, and so we're incorporating Sandpoint into the plays.
Were you Santa Claus last year too?
I was.
Okay. Returning to the role.
Returning to the role.
Have you ever played Santa Claus before in your life?
No. This will be the last time, too.
No. Coming to a mall next year.
That's right.
So it's True Believer was last year, True Believers. It's like Alien and Aliens.
That's right.
That's the only...
Without the blood and gore.
Yes. Although the... it looks like the poster features Santa Claus like...
Tied up.
He's in distress.
Yeah.
He's in distress.
Okay.
So can you give can anyone give a synopsis without giving away the whole show?
Yeah, I would say the synopsis is Santa's doing his thing, delivering presents to the good little girls and boys, and two people catch him in the act and decide to kidnap him. That's okay. Probably the best synopsis I can give you there.
Okay.
So.
So that's the, and we kind of started left to right, but we should actually perhaps have started with Mitch first, who plays, or sorry, Robert Moore, who plays Mitch in the Thanksgiving show instead. I imagine this one goes first and then the Christmas show follows.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's Thanksgiving Next about?
Thanksgiving Next is about a family, a group of siblings. I play the middle brother. A group of us decide to play a trick on our youngest brother, and when he comes home for Thanksgiving, we kind of discovered that the tables have turned a little bit with our younger brother. So it's fun. It's fun to work with a large cast like that. It's fun for me to actually have siblings. I grew up an only child, so to play the obnoxious middle brother is a lot of fun. And there's a great fellow actors that give and take throughout it. So that's fun.
No siblings at all, but you are... You're playing the...
Yes, I do have a sister, but we didn't share a household while growing up. So, I mean, so it was just pretty much me in the house.
Yeah.
So,
ironically, most of the cast are only children, and the whole premise of this show is like the angst of Thanksgiving and getting together as a family, which we can probably all relate to whether you have siblings or not, but there are more... only children in this full cast of brothers and sisters, that it's quite funny.
Huh. But you wouldn't know that.
You wouldn't know that from the acting, that's for sure.
I mean, there's, you know, that's the great thing with working with talented actors. They definitely go out and give it their all. And, you know, you build chemistry and a good working relationship through the rehearsal process so that, you know, those bonds do grow. So when you go out on stage, it's very natural.
Yeah. Did you have any middle children in your mind? Did you think like, oh, that's, you know, when you were trying to come up with it, or not come up with, but, you know, develop the character?
No, I don't really. I try not to look at other characters or stuff. I just kind of spend time reading the script, going through the rehearsal process, of course working with a director that has her own interpretation, and then the writer, and just kind of figuring out what they're all coming to piece it together. And then it just kind of, the character builds through trial and error during rehearsal and studying a character like that. I don't really go out and see somebody and go, ooh, I'm going to mimic that person on stage. I just kind of let it come to life through the dialogue and the rehearsal process.
Yeah.
And it changes. I mean, every night, I mean, even last night, line deliveries are a little different because you just get, that's the joys of live theater, is the dialogue and everybody's in the moment that you have to adapt to each other's dialogue. And it can be a little different from rehearsal to rehearsal, performance to performance, just because of the energy of what live theater is.
Yeah. Well, middle children are universally obnoxious, I believe. I've never met one.
Jack, where were you in the lineup?
No, I was at the top. I was the oldest.
Yeah. Lucky.
Me too. I was the bossy older sister.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yes. The middle ones are always the troublesome ones.
You know, Becky, as a writer, was incorporating some of her family thoughts when she was writing this, and she did come from a family. A big family, and she had several brothers and a sister. So,
where does she fall in the lineup?
She's somewhere in that little niche that you were describing.
Yeah,
I'm not getting that way there. So,
the premise of both of them sounds excellent. So, we have with us Devin Fredericks, who you've never been up here before, right?
No, I mean,
new to the studio.
Yes.
You direct which play?
Thanksgiving Next.
Okay.
So I get the opportunity of directing Robert over here.
Yeah. did you incorporate your own kind of family history or other families that you knew in real life when you
were... Yes, I have all brothers and I'm the baby. Yes. And talk about teasing, and I mean, because Becky and I both have lots of siblings, so mm-hmm. and they can be quite they can cause a lot of trouble in your life, basically. Yeah. I mean, I have some wonderful stories of what my brothers did, how did they try to destroy my life while I was younger, but so it's good. It's good to interpret
yeah.
and bring that together on stage.
Well, it's interesting that, an actor can play any role. They can, you can be yeah. a cowboy or a astronaut or whatever, but mm-hmm. But interesting to have a cast of single children or,
exactly.
only children playing
a big
family.
It was surprising.
yeah. Yeah, I guess you'd kind of have to... I would think you'd have some pointers there saying, like, no, siblings are much more annoying than you're being.
No, it's hard because you say, oh, no, you really care for this person. You know, yeah. think of yourself. Because you can't say, think of your brother or sister. You can't really do that when you have, most of your cast who don't. But then you try to reflect if they have children themselves, to try mm-hmm. to get that, camaraderie going and everyone, like, attacking each other and... really giving each other a hard time. And so, and actually they're doing a great job,
mm-hmm.
And I can't say anything more about people who actually come down to the pennant and volunteer. It's absolutely fantastic, to have these actors, available and coming and just
donating their time and
exactly,
energy.
Exactly. Because they have to be there
craft.
After work.
right. And they're donating their craft and they're yes. in there quite a bit.
Exactly.
To get it ready for
fabulous.
Tonight. So,
yeah.
How did you get involved in this show, Devin?
So Becky Revac and I go back many years. Mm-hmm. We worked on Northern Exposure together for many years.
We were talking about that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And actually her husband, Mark, when I went to film school, I came out and he was the first person who hired me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before, that Mark and Becky even knew each other. It was quite amazing.
Huh.
That they actually,
wow.
And the fact that they moved here, where
yeah.
I'm from.
Very interesting.
I grew up in Hope.
Oh, really?
yeah. So the fact that I was traveling doing film and, in L.A. to back east to, everywhere. And then I come back home and they move here.
Mm-hmm.
it was actually fabulous for me. But anyway, they had met each other on Northern Exposure. So it was just great. And we just hit it off really, really well. And so Becky and I are really good friends and she's just amazing. So we write together, but she's the focus one. she
okay.
keeps me, straight and narrow.
Yeah. But you knew even before the play was written that you were going to be directing it?
No, she mm-hmm. came and asked me.
After, okay.
Yeah, after she wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct.
And this is your first direction at the Panada?
At the Panada, correct.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how was your first time at the Panada? Compared to any other directing jobs you've had, how's this one stack up?
Well, it's all volunteerism,
yeah.
and I love giving my all to the Panada because I mm-hmm. grew up. That was my first theater as a
mm-hmm.
child.
Cool.
I love the Panada,
yeah.
So I have a heart throb for it.
Uh-huh.
So anything I can do for the Panada is wonderful. Anyone. Who can be a part of that is fantastic. And to keep it going,
mm-hmm.
It's so important. I don't think it's the heart of the city,
yeah.
the Panada really is. And to keep that beauty and that, vivacious, theatrical mm-hmm. feel to it. And I have great memories. As a child, I just have wonderful memories there. And I just want to make sure that it keeps going and people getting involved
mm-hmm.
is just wonderful. And that's how it's going to sustain itself, is this more involvement with the community and everyone just seeing, the beauty of it.
It is the heart of the community, but it's up to all of us to keep it beating.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
How has it been we've been under construction here for 2 months?
Forever.
Yeah, forever.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two or 3 months. It seems like longer than that.
It does seem long.
Yeah. How's it been going these
It's been pretty rough, actually, and it's
yeah.
just now kind of clearing the way. We have a full schedule for November and December, but it was a little bit bleak down here. And I hear this, oh, I'm avoiding downtown. And I keep reminding people, you can't do that. These are people's lives. This is our community. We have to keep it going. So I hope people realize it's just a little bit of dust. You have to park a little differently. But please come down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better now than it was. And now you can drive, if I'm not mistaken, you can actually drive right down into the parking lot, like from Oak Street or whatever that is. That's open now.
Yes.
Which was, for a while there, getting from the radio station, which is usually like a 2-block walk and across the street, it was like 3 miles to go.
All the way around.
Out Pine Street and across and come on.
Well, the parking behind the pad is not open to the public, but it had to be used that way a little bit because there was no other place to go. So it'll be nice when people can get down the streets and see the other retailers.
It was nice to see the workers help because I actually saw them open the gate to get the guy didn't know where to go. He's I'm lost. I just need to go over there. And so it was wonderful. I mean, I see them morning and night. So
yeah,
I know. Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they're out there. They're right.
Doing their best.
They're here before I get here, and they're
their best.
Definitely here after I leave. So we are we're here with Ken Wood, Robert Moore, Devin Fredericks, and Patricia Walker from the upcoming 2-holiday one-act play special, 1 weekend only.
Yeah, 1 weekend only.
Okay.
So this is it. Yeah, gotta. So it'll be tonight and tomorrow and Saturday at 7:30 and then Sunday at 3:30, which is our lovely matinee time is actually one of our biggest shows. So, but don't wait to see it. Come see it multiple times, and you know, it's a great way to kick off the holiday because it gets you kind of in that fun spirit of the holidays, and you know, you might as well go laugh about that family angst before you do the family angst and and come enjoy a little bit of Thanksgiving and Christmas kickoff.
It is 7:30 p.m. Tickets are where?
Online or at the door.
Okay. And is it who's welcome to these? Is it family friendly or a little more adult oriented?
I'll let Santa address that question.
I would definitely say we've kept the Christmas show very family friendly. We want to encourage kids to be in it. I would definitely say watching the Thanksgiving play last night that it is as well. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely it's a family friendly affair.
Yeah, and we have 2 kids in our show, just as well as he has.
Yeah.
And live theater's, you know, something we want to foster for all ages, and it's really one of our paramount, you know, projects. We have a couple of big ones coming up in next year that we're kicking off. So, you know, we want to make sure we can keep live theater. It's the one thing you can't watch on your phone.
True. Right?
So live theater's important to us.
Well, this is very exciting. It's nice to have it back for another year and hopefully great success, and you'll be back for round 3.
Absolutely.
Next time around. Did I miss anything? Did I forget to ask any important questions before we...
I would definitely say if you don't make it to it, you might end up on Santa's naughty list. So I would really tell the community to get out there. I mean, that's not a list you want to end up on. It's a tough crowd.
Yeah, there's not too much going on this weekend. I think this seems like a pretty good way to spend your time. So that is Thanksgiving Next and True Believers at 7:30 p.m. tonight, tomorrow night, and the night after that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Showing at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, November 24th at the Panada Theater. Some kind of little intermission in between the two, I suppose.
Absolutely. And you know, theater only survives if we keep supporting it.
Well, that's certainly true. Thank you all for coming up.
Thank you.
Break a leg.
We appreciate you.
Right?
Yeah. Break a leg. Appreciate KRFY.
Yeah. And we will now get back to our regularly scheduled program. It's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY. Coming up, how about some Roger McGuinn? Why not?
Why not?
Okay. With the lady. Yes, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.